Hey, welcome to Down in Front. My name is Steve Christie. I'm sitting here with Brian William Finifter.
Greetings.
Jeffrey Harrell.
Hi.
And Trading Amazing Stokes.
Hi.
And about 1 second ago, I said, fuck it, let's just start recording because we're having a conversation.
We already
have
talking.
A subject. But we were just talking about the fact, we were talking about video games or art, and Trey was going off on a thing about, actually, I started this thing. I said to Brian, right now, the question of video games being art can be summed up into one question. Would you rather play Portal 3 right now, or Portal 3 with Bradley Whitford? No, he went with Bradley Whitford, and Bradley Whitford, anything makes it art. Syllogism.
Disgust.
Yeah. Anyway, no, but I was
going to
say.
QED.
Bradley Whitford is neither Bradley nor Whitford.
It's intuitively obvious. It requires no explanation. It's intuitively obvious. It's self-evident.
So. Proof is left as an exercise for the reader.
Exactly.
In the interest of the other day expanding my horizons, because there is this really big, and I actually recommend reading it just for, if you're like me and you like just reading debates go back and forth, we have this huge thread in the Diff Forum on the off-topic board called Are Video Games Art? And it's really interesting for me to read because I don't care, but I like hearing the argument go back and forth and back and forth and like, basically, it's just the fun, all the fun of a debate with none of the getting beat up in the recess yard. And and it's in the interest of expanding my horizons, because I was, some say the world will end with ice and some say it'll end with fire. I was one of those guys who said, I don't think it's fucking art. But someone said, you really just, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And yeah, they're right. So someone said, here, watch this. And apparently this is a thing that people do. They'll do playthroughs of video games and put them on YouTube. As in, pop in the disc, record your TV until you're done with the game.
So you're not playing the video game, you're watching somebody else.
I'm watching someone else play the video game.
I was aware
of
this. I was aware that happened.
I was watching Portal 2, and it really works for Portal 2, because that's mostly...
It's kind of like watching a weird episodic movie.
Exactly. You're just listening to a robot be catty at you. And it was really amusing. And I watched all of Portal 2. It was about 3 hours and 50 minutes or so over the course of a day, because usually I'd be like listening to something on Netflix or listening to a podcast. I'm like, oh, all right, I'll have that over on the other monitor. It was really enjoyable.
Okay, that to me is weird. I love video games. I like playing video games quite a bit. The idea of watching somebody else play a video game, especially...
I think I watched you play Portal 1.
Yes, you did. And I had a grand time because I was playing.
I was amused.
And by the way, I beat Portal 1 in like 6 hours. Yeah, I'm smart. the idea of watching somebody else play video games, even if like I'm on the couch next to them, is boring as shit. Adding in that extra layer of this is something I'm watching on YouTube.
Yeah,
I cannot imagine a more.
Well, I wasn't sitting there with popcorn. I wasn't sitting there with popcorn.
I couldn't be less invested in what's happening right now.
Yeah, no, but here's why that works though, is because the first 10 or 15 minutes of Portal 2 is a cinematic that introduces you into the world of Portal 2, and there's a robot, and I'm not even spoiling it because it's literally the first thing you see. There's a robot who kind of goes with you. He's sort of the equivalent of your companion cube, but he talks at you, and he's voiced by Stephen Merchant, and nice. He's just being all, okay, let's see if your mental functions are working. Look left, look right. Okay, got that. They are not moving on. Just like stuff like that. And he's just being all funny. And it's like, all right, well, this is amusing. And I didn't intend at the outset to watch 4 hours of someone play Portal. Someone said, look at the way Portal 2 starts. I was like, all right, look at this. And it was fucking amazing. It's just a really fun thing to watch.
Portal 2 is a great game.
And then by the time you get to the game, wait.
At that point, just pay attention to you sitting there as the audience member, and then something is flickering at you on a screen. At that point, the video game isn't even part of it. The video game is just like an implementation detail. You're just watching a very peculiar sort of movie.
That's right.
Yeah, and that's I have no.
That the guy next to you is directing.
I have no experience of Portal 2, but I did play Portal, and I love Portal.
It was the Portal fun.
Yeah, I mean, and the premise, but I can see that there could be an attraction to simply watching, because what you're watching, if you watch Portal, whether you're watching an AI or you're watching a human being, is you're watching
you're
a character working their way out of one situation to the next.
And I'm listening to the guy talking his way through it.
How is that different from Die Hard?
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. It's like, so,
it was almost it's almost exactly the same thing. It's 3.5 hours long, but...
And the cinematography is kind of weird.
Well, it was cool. Yeah. But I'm watching this... It would have been really expensive to make this movie. But I'm watching this person work through a world and find out new information the way the person is in the game when they're playing it. But from what I'm seeing and hearing, it's literally... It's a first-person account of this movie called Portal 2. Now, that was interesting. I wasn't paying popcorn attention to it. It was just happening on the other screen while I was doing my job. But I enjoyed it. I found that to be... interesting. I wouldn't do it again, and I think this is not something I'm saying recommended for all video games. Don't give a shit. But Portal 2, being as amusing as Valve games tend to be, worked for me this one time that one day.
As a movie, basically, is what basically, you're saying. Basically,
yeah, that's one kind of thing. I mean, I have watched, I haven't never watched that sort of thing. I have watched people attack a dungeon in World of Warcraft. But the reason I did that was because it's a tutorial on how to defeat that dungeon. It's not like you're not in it for the story. Or, you know, you're, right. not, you're invested. It's a teaching tool. It's a tutorial. I've watched that, but that's an entirely different kind of reason to watch, you know, to watch it. Because Warcraft does not function the same way that, that Portal does. Because Portal, I think it's Portal is interesting, and I'm not that familiar with games either. I don't have like a vast experience of, you know, I haven't played Mass Effect or any of the, you know, any other games. I'm not much of a gamer. Warcraft is really about the only one that I have actually invested any time in. And that's a different kind of game, obviously, than Portal. But the, you know, they run the gamut of, you know, that there is a story going on that some video games, a la Mass Effect or whatever, if one understand, are, you know, you drive the story. But of course, you know, there are lanes, and you can only you can't exceed the lanes. And there is, I think, we could use the word art. There's an art to it, you know, and a science to it. Maybe using the word art differently than the debate. But you know, that's a very tricky thing. And there have been various levels of success. And Mass Effect 3 seems to be a mixed success. And a lot of people were. Is how do you create this illusion of choice and choose your own adventure without having it be so vastly open-ended that, you know, it doesn't go anywhere, and, you know, but that too, that's a different kind of game. Skyrim apparently is that. Skyrim is just, here's or a world, mess around.
Grand Theft Auto is a similar
exactly
thing.
Here's a world, and it's you know, they call it a sandbox game, where literally you just, you know, I'm gonna do whatever I want, you know. Or I'm from what I gather, Minecraft is just make things and interact with people however you choose to, as opposed to Mass Effect, which is trying to be this sort of story.
Well,
has a place that it's going, you know.
Here's a question for the group, and Trey, you might be the only one other than myself who's old enough to know what I'm talking about. Is Microsoft Flight Simulator a video game?
It was certainly marketed as one, but yeah, that's another, you know, before the term sandbox was prevalent, that's very much a sandbox game.
Yeah, because I wasn't like an aficionado or anything, but I played it as a kid. Maybe they changed it over the years.
Yeah.
But
there's no story to it.
There's no story to it, but there's also no sense of winning and losing. Well, I mean, obviously,
you're flying. If you land successfully, you feel good. If you crash into a building, then you've lost.
Training to be a terrorist.
Yeah, exactly.
But it kind of becomes a question. There are, and I'm gonna say something I hate now because I can't think of a better term for it. There are interactive things that we can do.
Solitaire.
Oh, well, even more so because Solitaire has this built-in, extremely
rubric,
objective
right.
concept of winning and losing. But there are interactive things that we can do that I don't know that we can necessarily cut and dried call them video games. And here's the reason I ask. Years and years and years ago in a prior life, I worked for a defense contractor that built F-16 flight simulators for the Air National Guard.
Jeffrey's cooler than you guys.
Yeah, shut up. The difference between what I worked on and Microsoft Flight Simulator was just a matter of degrees. We had F-16s, and we had fully built cockpits, and we had articulated motion bases, and we had, you know, dome projection systems with 8K projectors back in the day when that was a big deal. But it was still...
Only the military had stuff like that.
Only the military had stuff like that. But it was still just a flight simulator, and you were given objectives by your training officer who would say, you know, okay, you take off, ascend to this, you know, follow this flight path, achieve these objectives, whatever. But that was imposed on the device. That wasn't intrinsic to the device. So is that a video game?
I would say that's basically equivalent to you have a big bouncy ball and you have a field and you're picking something to do with it. Well, I've got these things. Okay, let's stand in a circle and we're going to bounce it at each other, and the first one to drop it
let's
loses.
Make up
which,
some
which,
rules.
Which
about
my,
how, you know,
my nephew loves that Kinect.
It's basically
game.
Just a playing field.
Yeah. So then the question becomes, where's the line? And there may not be one. This is a
between
case by
a playing
case
field
thing,
and a game.
Between playing and a game. Where's the line between a game and play? And I tend to think that the obvious answer is that a game is something that has imposed rules.
Well, that's something that I've always had this really weird thought, and I've never been able to shake it, which is I don't. Now, this is not a categorical statement. This is like a word choice statement. I don't think modern video games. I can see how we evolved here etymologically, but I don't think modern video games should be called games. Do you see what I'm saying? Now think about
going.
Well, checkers is a game.
Okay.
Trivial Pursuit is a game.
Backgammon is a game.
Yeah. Now, football is a sport.
And the difference between a sport and a game is just the emphasis on the competitive aspect of it. Again, that's a matter of degrees.
More or less. But
football
them,
is also a
both
game.
Both of them are arbitrary things that we're deciding to do together.
Yeah.
You know, and someone's winning, someone's losing, blah, 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 blah. what would you call, I don't know, I'm assuming, let's say Call of Duty behaves in a certain way because I don't know anything about it, but if you're playing through Call of Duty, that's a thing. That is definitely a thing, and we are not even talking about the content or the value of it. Just, that is a thing, but I don't think I wouldn't call that a game if it just arrived fully formed today.
I would call it a game for only one reason. There's a defined winning and losing condition.
Okay.
You do these things. These are the different options you have available at every tick of the clock, so to speak. Every, you know, in a game like chess, you take turns and you have legal moves and you have illegal moves and so forth and so on. In Call of Duty or whatever we're talking about, the it's not a tick of a clock. It's not a discrete, you're taking turns with another player. Yeah. It's a continuum of choice, but you still have things you can do and things that you can't do. If you press this button at this time, it does something. If you press that button at any other time, it doesn't do anything. And you have a winning condition, or several, that you're trying to achieve, and failing to do so means you haven't won the game yet.
The question of how do you define a game is a really difficult one. Like, literally, just how do you define a game?
Yeah, it's not obvious.
I think the actual distinction that we're trying to make here is, can video games be stories? And I think that's kind of the issue having.
That was the nature of the conversation. Yeah. We're on a tangent about it right now.
Yeah, and I think most of the time, getting into the weeds about how you define this word or that word, a game versus a sport versus art versus God, whatever.
Gonna bring God into it.
It's just a matter of definition. Like if you're arguing over the details of these stuff without clearly defining a concrete definition that everybody agrees on up front, then you're just,
well, that's what we're
just,
trying to do.
You're just circle jerking.
Define game, sir.
I mean, if the question is...
I feel like the game is, by itself, is a tangent. It's like, the original question is, are video games art? And it's like, well, art itself
now
is...
Now you're trying to define art. Okay, here
yeah,
we go.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. It's like, what is art? What are we defining? What is your definition of art?
Yes,
what is my definition of art?
We have to define art, but yeah. I thought we'd pick the low-hanging fruit and see if we could effectively define what a video
game is.
Isn't
the question, are video games art, wasn't that kicked off by Roger Ebert saying that they are not? And I've never actually read what his actual rationale was.
Well, unless I'm much mistaken, he subsequently came back and said, you know what, I wasn't really thinking.
I got enough shit on the internet that I've rethought the thing, which is perfectly
and
valid.
To me,
it's like a meaningless question. It's kind of like,
yeah,
you know, a fork can be a work of art. I mean, you could appreciate the design of it and the functionality or the whatever.
Well, I actually have a point of view on this that's probably pretty head up ass,
Can I real quickly just read the definition of game on the page here so we can move past that fully?
Sure.
Yeah. The definition.
I was gonna say,
the
there
page,
is a definition for the word.
Game, a form of play or sport, especially a competitive one played according to rules and decided by skill, strength, or luck.
So it seems to hinge on the idea that there are these imposed rules and a winning condition.
One played according to rules and decided by skill and strength and luck.
Yeah.
The
so
rules are what define the game. It's like it's...
So a Rubik's Cube is, aside from being non-competitive, it's a game.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, the distinction between
a form of play... Especially a competitive one. Well, that's where it doesn't
work.
The other thing to
keep in mind is that just because you can define one thing as one thing...
Yeah,
doesn't
square
mean,
is a rectangle, a rectangle is a square kind of thing.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it's mutually exclusive to be defined as something else. Yes, the Rubik's Cube is a game. It's also a puzzle.
A toy. Yeah,
yeah,
a
don't get your shit twisted or not, because it can't be a puzzle and a game at the same... No, just fuck.
Things can be two things,
It's a very famous quote, and I'm blanking on the guy's name, but it's a Yudkowsky says it all the time. The map is not the territory. The way we describe something is not intrinsically the thing itself. That's just our imposed way of describing it. And whenever we're defining something, that is intrinsically what we're doing. We're just describing it, and our description is not the thing itself.
About rose and sweet, and I don't remember what it was.
Just chill a little bit.
But it's also useful. I mean, you're absolutely right, and I agree with everything you just said, but it's also useful to have working definitions that we all agree on.
Absolutely.
So that we can delineate, and we can say, well, you know what, the Microsoft Flight Simulator, we're not going to talk about that in the context of our video games art, because that's not a video
game.
Because
there's no rules, and it's not competitive.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that that's
a true... And you can't win.
I don't think we actually decide. That I'm not saying that's a true statement.
Well,
I was just using that as an example.
That plays into what the definition was.
Yeah,
I think it's a playing field.
If we accept that Microsoft Flight Simulator or whatever you want at World of Warcraft, I don't care. If you want to accept that something doesn't conform to the definition of a video game, then you can stop talking about it so that you can crystallize your thinking. And on that point, when it comes to what do we mean by art, I actually have a working definition of that that I think applies pretty well. And I haven't yet been convinced that my definition is stupid, but I welcome the opportunity that you guys are going
to
take.
Have you met the internet?
And it's simply this. Art is, to me, anything that a person can make or do that is primarily intended to the exclusion of other intentions to be appreciated for its aesthetic virtues.
Aesthetic meaning visual or
meaning any however you want to interpret aesthetic. However you want to interpret beauty, because music by that definition is art, because music is there to be interpreted, to be judged based on its aesthetic qualities, you know? And in that case we're talking about what does it sound
that's
like,
just
how does it
noise
make it feel? Yeah, exactly,
right.
So if a thing, and you said a minute ago, I think it was you, Trey, said a fork can be art. Well, yes it can, but it can also not be art if it's a fork. There can be a particularly beautiful fork, but if your intention in making that fork is to have somebody eat spaghetti with it, then you weren't making art. You were making a fork that just happened to be beautiful.
Well, change it from a fork to a spoon, and then you get a real-life example, because people make spoons to collect and go, look, I got my Arizona spoon.
Exactly.
Right.
And they no longer function as a spoon. You don't eat cereal with those spoons.
Right.
They have the form of a spoon, but they are now an artwork.
And the fact that you could eat cereal with that spoon if you wanted to doesn't change the fact that the creator's intention in making it was not for it to be used
to help you eat your cereal.
Right. It was to create a thing that would be judged based on its aesthetic merits.
So while one thing can be two things at once, it will be art or not art based on its original intention.
And it's a judgment call. It's a pure judgment call.
And I agree with that for the most part. There has to be, for me, I feel like the important quality is that there has to be the intention of the creator, an active intention on the part of the creator that goes, this is art. You know, I'm creating this for aesthetic judgment or whatever.
Therefore, it's like, again,
the intent is the important part.
But then not having read the original Ebert, opinion piece, it's like, I think this is a fairly valid baseline to, you know, I think your assessment, let's go with that assessment. It's like, well, in the end, video games, by your definition, are not art, because they are commercial enterprises. They are meant to be popular with people who will give you money and make it worth your while to have invented that thing. Hold on. But that's also true of movies.
Yes. Okay.
Movies are, that's also true of television shows. That's also true of books.
Well, commerce complicates everything.
Well, but that's the point. It's like you said, the original intent. Literally, if you think of an art, an artist, the image that comes to my mind is it's a guy, he lives in the worst possible conditions and he's covered with paint and he probably has been eating, oatmeal with a spoon for about a month now, because he's got this thing he's trying to create with no intention of how it's going to better his life. It's just a thing that he has to make. That's like the pure definition of art.
I agree with that.
But then there's the commercial art. Again, I'm saying that there's, that it seems weird without having read his argument for him to say that video games aren't art.
Categorically.
Whereas wouldn't Roger Ebert say that movies are art? Or would he also acknowledge that they are commercial enterprises that sometimes, like the spoon, can transcend and become more than the functional object
to be. It's like what Brian said before, the map is not the territory. A movie, yes, is primarily a commercial enterprise, but how will it succeed or fail? It'll succeed or fail based on its aesthetic merits.
No, but not necessarily.
No.
Well, not Transformers, but like Cabin in the Woods or something like that, where this is not the sort of thing that drags you in on the auspice of the fancy things you're going to see, something that clicks with you.
Well, you also have to define success in this. Are you talking about success financially? Are you talking about success critically creatively?
Movies are made for both.
How about this? Will we all agree that there are some movies that are art and some that aren't?
Having worked for the Asylum.
Yes.
I would go so far.
Well, they can be bad art.
I would go so far, like what Trey just said, I would go so far as to say that they're all art. Some of them are successful.
Some of them are just not aesthetically as well developed as others.
Yeah, they're all meant to be judged based on their qualities as a movie.
Finger paintings on the fridge are, that's art, but he's only three, so what do you want from him, for fuck's sake?
It was made to be pretty. It was not successful, but that's okay, because in order to be qualified as art, a thing doesn't have to be successful. It just has to have been an attempt to create something that would be judged based on its artistic merit, based on its aesthetic qualities. A movie like, somebody name it. Terrible movie. I'm blanking out.
The Room.
A movie like The Room was not intended to be anything other than a story told that people would respond to that has aesthetic merit.
Signifying nothing.
By an idiot signifying nothing. Not a success. Now, there are other examples, and do you guys know about this Fantastic Four movie that exists that never got released?
Yeah.
I think it's up on YouTube or something, and it's like 40 minutes long. It just barely qualifies as a feature, but it was made purely for rights reasons. It was made because whoever held the option had to exercise that option within a certain amount of time, otherwise it would lapse. So they made a movie. It was, you know, two guys with a camcorder in a garage or something, and then
those people who made that really bizarro Lord of the Rings movie, because that was how they maintained the rights to the Lord of the Rings.
Right. Those are not art, because they're not even attempts to create something aesthetic. They're purely
commercial.
They're contractual obligations, and they have no other purpose. So, no, that doesn't qualify as art. So, no, a movie is not automatically art, but anything that's, you know, not that, I think we can pretty easily exclude that as being movies that aren't intended to be seen by other people. Anything that's not that, yeah, I think even unsuccessful movies are art. They're just not good art.
You don't want to look
at. That's the other distinction to make, is there's a difference between art, not art, good art, and bad art.
Right. Well, art doesn't automatically mean I like it.
Here's my problem with
this. Or that it does effectively what it set out to do. As we talk about the perfect movie, and there's, by implication, the not perfect movie, you can have a bad movie that still qualifies as a movie.
Yeah.
Here's another problem. Here's basically the problem that I have with this, that I don't even acknowledge it, because it doesn't matter for the purposes of trying to find a delineation between blank and blank, and it's all that fun stuff, and it doesn't matter that I have this particular thing, this one hang-up, but I'm really uncomfortable with the word art. Really uncomfortable with it. Now, I am someone with some amount of success who has created works of writing, of photography, of painting, of song, of performance, of all of these things. Some people really appreciate them. I liked doing them. I would shirk the accusation of being an artist. Not because I don't think they're good, but just because I don't get art. I don't understand the point of it. Now, I can understand
because the definition is so vague.
Well, it's
well, no, the definition isn't even that vague. It's just that as a culture, we've
put
elevated
this importance on it.
Yeah,
right.
we les artistes, we've put it up on a pedestal. Yeah.
We haven't elevated it very much, and we're elevating it less and less every day right now.
Go back 50,000 years, you know, art is just anything that you didn't do to survive. You know,
that's an interesting point.
Are you hunting? No. Are you gathering? No.
I'm shaving this stick into a funny shape.
Are you mating? No.
Why are you wasting your time on that?
You're in a cave taking berry juice into your mouth and then putting your hand on the wall and spraying to make an outline.
Yeah.
You're arting.
Yeah.
You're doing art.
But
now
I'm really worried about Og. I don't think he's going to ever amount to shit.
And that's why it's such a simple word. It's just art. It's an utterance. It's just that's a word we use to describe those things that weirdos do.
But even then, I don't think the distinction is that black and white, because the first art, quote unquote, the bison on the cave wall was probably... Okay,
indicative.
This thing, we need to go catch that. Don't catch this thing over here. This is the one that we eat.
See the pointy part in front? Stay away from that part.
Right.
That's the part.
Maybe so.
And so
now when we get out there, just trying to remember this.
So, yeah, also trying to make the distinction based on practical and impractical.
But this kind of gets back to...
Laying out the boundaries at all, it just seems so fucking futile.
It's impossible. This is why I don't like the word art.
I wouldn't, that's
exactly why.
No, hang on. That's just the thing. I wouldn't go so far as to say it's futile, because this gets back to something that T said earlier when he
was
trying to get
me clarifying
my point.
You're right, I'm sorry. It's futile.
Earlier we were talking about the intention of the artist, and I think that factors in. I think that's valuable. But we also have to acknowledge that there's a transformation that can happen. Those cave paintings in Lascaux in France or wherever they are, maybe, I don't think anybody knows, this could just be me being ignorant, but maybe they were educational, maybe they were illustrative, maybe it was a tutorial on how to kill a water buffalo, I don't know.
Werner Herzog, I think, did a whole documentary that's in my Netflix streaming queue right now that I have not watched yet. Otherwise, if I'd gotten to it, I might have been able to go, well, here's what they think.
Something about
apparently there is a pretty extensive documentary that's on Netflix streaming right now about the Lascaux cave paintings that I very much want to check out.
Yeah, I definitely want to watch
that. You're saying
they
may or may not be illustrative, or they may be art or whatever.
But, no, what I'm saying is, whether they were educational, whether they had a purpose, whether they had a utilitarian purpose at the time, it's 30,000 years later, they don't now. Now they're art. Now they exist for no other reason than to be judged aesthetically. If you went in there and spray painted over them, what would we lose? We wouldn't lose anything utilitarian. We wouldn't even really lose anything historical, because there's not a lot of information contained in there other than the one bit of binary data that says humans lived here. What we would lose is the art. What we'd lose is the aesthetic value of that thing and the cultural value of that thing. So now it's art.
So you're saying all that qualifies for or against art is intention with a moratorium?
with a term limit on it.
With the statute of limitations. Yeah.
I would go farther to say that it's in the eye of the beholder. Well,
if you bury it in the sand for 1,000 years, it becomes priceless.
There you go. What I mean by that.
Even you maybe want something.
I mean, you can go to the
Son of a bitch.
Well played.
And scene.
You can go to the Smithsonian and you can see chairs behind velvet ropes.
And the guy who made the chair when he made the chair was not, this is going to be in a museum someday. He goes, I sure hope I sell this fucking thing.
Well, I mean, even more concrete example, Paul Revere was a silversmith. He made teapots. Yeah. His teapots are in museums. They're behind, you know, glass with like lasers protecting them because they're valuable. They're culturally valuable to us now. We have collectively decided that those are art now, and we're not going to drink tea out of those. So it's a little bit in the eye of the beholder.
There's also the historical quality to it. I think is more.
Well, there's a difference between art and artifact.
A larger piece of that pie than your.
Yeah, if it has a certain historical, obviously any attachment to a historical figure. It's weirdly enough, I was watching a show that I really enjoy. I haven't had a chance to watch in a while. I happened to catch like 30 minutes of Antiques Roadshow last night, and that's it's a fun show, and I enjoy the show. But sometimes it does sort of bring up the arbitrary quality of what we choose to define as valuable. Mm-hmm. So it's like this table you have is a very nice table. It's a bullshit table. Fuck you. Get out of my sight. This table you have that you can't even tell the difference from that table is the most awesome table that anyone has ever shown me.
Have you seen this fucking table? Look at this table.
Yeah.
If they actually talk like that on Antiques Roadshow, I would totally watch it.
That would be
it.
Great. Take your table and get the fuck out of my face.
Get your bullshit excuse for a table and get the fuck out of here.
Which is why, and I think
you have the gonads to bring that table
on the show. Yet you bring this to me today. And that's why people
on this,
like
the day of my taping.
There must be. The show is like unlike American Idol. I would like to see the American Idol clip reel a la Antiques Roadshow. I would like to see the person who brought in the most heinous piece of bullshit to have and have the guy kind of politely try and go, okay, what this is it's a container from a cottage cheese that was made about 4 years ago in Lima, Peru. Its market value is, how much did you pay for that? What do you think the market value about? The market value is nothing. It's a piece of fucking plastic. And yet the horrifying thing about Antiques Roadshow is people will bring in what looks like a piece of shit. And the guy will lose his, it will go bananas over it, going, oh, my God, that's the thing. You know, and it's worth $150,000 for some reason. And it's, you know, that's, again, it's this, sometimes there seems to be this weird arbitrary nature to why we just define this is a valuable work of art, but this is a piece of shit.
It is all thoroughly arbitrary.
There's a question here.
Let me just say this about that, just real quickly. There's certainly the historical aspect, which you rightly called me on with the Paul Revere thing. There's also the notion of a platonic exemplar of whatever a thing is meant to be. Like, you know, a table. A table's just a table, but wow, you know what? That's a really awesome table. That's a really spectacular table. We value those things. We put those things in museums. But I wouldn't go so far as to say that those things qualify as art because, again, it's a utilitarian thing and it just happens to be a really good example of whatever it's meant to be.
The point you're making is saying, okay, this, we all have one idea in our head of what's archetypally is a table.
Yeah.
And
this
so
one's
interesting. We are choosing this to represent our concept of all tables everywhere. And that's what you mean by
that. That's the best table ever.
Yeah. I'm representing that in my brain, designating that as table.
Yeah.
And so, okay.
To bring it sort of back to nominally what we tend to talk about.
Well,
Is it the Library of Congress or whatever? Is the library? I mean, obviously AFI has what they do, and you know the various ways that we immortalize film and say this film is stands as a classic. Doesn't the Library of Congress has a thing where they I think if it's the one I'm thinking of or whichever one is they don't say what an awesome movie. They define it by the cultural significance.
That's exactly the phrase. They call it culturally significant.
Yeah, the culture, which doesn't mean it's a great movie.
Birth of a Nation, yeah.
It might be, yeah. It's like,
Birth of a Nation is fucking horrible.
Yeah, the subject matter is weird today. And
Triumph of the Will.
You know, and it does not stand up next to Star Wars if you wanted to watch one side by side. And yet, that's not the purpose.
Right.
That's not the point of what we're talking about, that there's a significance to this movie, that it has an importance in the history of movies and the evolvement and the evolution of the form or whatever. However they choose to define culturally significant. I mean, didn't they
pick Easy Rider, which is, you know, a movie that, that, you know, I'm going to sit down and watch Easy Rider. What an awesome movie.
Chloe,
you know?
And I did that once.
Yeah. How about that?
Oof.
Yeah. And I think
a long day.
I think we can all agree that that is one culturally significant movie.
Yes.
So I had to watch it in film school, and that's, thank you, got that out of the way. Never yeah. again. But at the time, and recognizing what it is. But that's a whole other level than what movies are nominally for, which is entertainment for stupid people, is, you know, entertainment for illiterates, you know, who don't, I don't go to the theater. Well, okay, well, you just come and sit in this dark room. Okay.
Groundlings.
You know, here's the thing about a guy and a dog. I love it. You know, is that art? Not, well, it wasn't meant to be, but maybe 100 years from now, it'll be considered that.
I don't like to go see Shakespeare. Okay, well, fucking, here's a bit with a dog in another thing.
Yeah.
Here.
Love, here, Tim Allen's a dog in this movie. Dog.
Yeah.
No, I have a thought experiment art. Here. Thought experiment here. All right. You're standing in a room. In the room is a wonderful painting. Art? If we're allowing... Okay, a painting can
if
be
If you're
art.
Stripping away all context, is this what you're saying? If you strip away all context other than the object itself.
Well, no. Just go with me on this.
Is a painting automatically art? Is that what you're asking?
No, just... You're standing in a room with a painting that you might consider art.
Is it a painting like it's a painting of a person? It's not like three blue squares? Or we're not talking about the nature of the painting itself.
Right, exactly. Right. No, but...
It's like a portrait of Queen Elizabeth. It's got a gilded frame, and it's on a wall in a white room.
I'll start with a statement and then start asking questions based on the statement. You're standing in a room with a painting that you feel is art. Okay. Okay, this is paint Mona Lisa or something like that. You're standing... Okay. Now, there's a second painting next to it that's sort of the continuation of whatever was happening in that first painting is meant to be seen sequentially before this next painting. Right?
Which has been done.
Okay, cool.
The concept of a triptych, perhaps.
And exactly. Like and then a third, and then a fourth. Now, if you do the extension of that, you end up with something very similar to a movie.
24 of them happening every second, by chance?
24, and you run past them.
Snow White is literally...
You just whip your head from one end to the
Snow
other.
Snow White is literally 15 paintings a second.
I'm with the analogy. I'm with you.
Now, I can see how that would be art. Because the audience participation involved is one of appreciation passively. You stand there, you let it affect you.
Well, this is where we get
to the conversation about games.
Hang on, I just want to draw a little bit of a distinction there. If those 24 frames a second are meant to be enjoyed, and I keep falling back on this because I don't know how
this is why I started with paintings.
If they're meant to be enjoyed for their aesthetic virtues, then yes, now we're talking about art. If, on the other hand...
Say Snow White.
Yeah, sure. But,
well,
the,
but that,
the counter
that was a commercial
example,
venture, so...
Well, sure, it was.
The counterexample, though, is, university lecture that was recorded and played back on YouTube so that students on extension could watch it from their homes.
Yeah, but
that's not meant to be watched. But yeah, that's utilitarian.
I don't think that anything that has to be paid for to be witnessed is no. You pay to go into a museum too. I mean, it's that's not inherently a stopper. If they're making money off of art, that may or may not. Now, obviously, they might be playing into what they think
buy. But you're paying the people who are warehousing the art. You're not paying the creators of the art.
No, in some cases, you're doing both.
But you
buy books.
We're splitting hairs, but we're talking about the analogy. And the analogy is coming from your thing that art, by definition, is a thing that was created without any sort of recompense. It was truly, I have made a creation. What do you think of it on an aesthetic level? And then the instant that other people become involved, it becomes some level of commerciality. All I'm saying
is
like you're saying you pay to go to a museum. That's not, but that doesn't fit. That's not the analogy that's being discussed. It's like, it doesn't matter how you got in to see the art. You know, Van Gogh does not profit because you paid a dollar to go look at his painting. So
sure,
that connection is removed.
Your point is good. I concede that point. Let's go back to 15 paintings, and then all of a sudden you're watching something like that happen. And when you appreciate it, whether or not you paid for it, whether or not it was done for you to buy, when you appreciate it, you're sitting there appreciating passively. Now, that is where, if there's going to be a distinction made between games and movies, it will lie. Because you are, opposed to it affecting you, you are affecting it insofar as you can.
For me,
there's no real distinction between passive and active. There are degrees, yes, you are more active doing a video game versus just standing in a museum gallery. But there's still photons going back and forth and neurons that are firing. This whole discussion is, I think, pedantic, to be quite honest. It's definitional.
I agree.
But
I think that's
the debates are fun.
That's what we're exploring here, is this idea. Are video games art? It's like, well, if if the world was that black and white, we could answer that question. But it's like it isn't. Neither the definition of video game nor art.
By the way,
is concrete enough.
That was my favorite post in the thread. On page 4, Kyle comes in for one post and just says, "We're all gonna die eventually."
And I like Portal.
That's the fucking point to me.
And I like Portal 2, so fuck it. You know, what the hell.
But the ending of that point was, I especially dislike this distinction, this artificial, I feel, distinction between active and passive. You're still observing it, and that's, by definition, not a passive activity.
Well,
that's a completely quibbling.
Dude, Schrodinger's video game.
I agree that that's a distinction without a difference, the whole active-passive thing. But the question is, if you're – there are two of you, okay? We're gonna clone Teague real quick. We're going to send one of them to a movie theater. I know, right? We're going to send one of them to a movie theater to watch a movie. We're going to put the other one in front of a Nintendo.
No, I have a helpful thing for you.
Hang on.
Seriously, just let me talk for a second. We send one of Teague over there to watch Portal. And one of two over there to play Portal.
Nope, not at all. Where I was going.
I just watched a video game.
And here's the problem with having two teams. You can never finish a goddamn sentence already. Imagine if there were two.
No, we could just lock them in the bathroom and they'd interrupt each other.
Okay, that's right. That's not what I was going to say.
Problem
at all.
Solves
fuck,
itself.
You're me. That's exactly what you were going to say.
After this is over, I've got a short film to write. Anyway, we send one off to the movie theater to watch a movie. I don't care what the movie is, but he's going to watch a movie just like a normal person watches a movie. We put the other one down in front of a Nintendo to play a Nintendo game. I don't know anything about
that. I like
the
way you worked a show plug into there.
Yeah, nice. Whatever.
So one's playing Nintendo and one is watching a movie.
And one is watching a movie. Why is the guy who's watching a movie watching a movie? What is his, how do I want to say this? What is his metric for deciding whether or not his time is being well spent? Am I entertained by this? Is this pleasing to me? Is the audio-visual, you know, experience of watching this movie aesthetically pleasing to me? That's fundamentally the metric. Does it make me think? Does it please me intellectually? Whatever. Point is, it's an aesthetic appreciation of the art. The guy who's playing the video game, he's playing it to win the video game because the game has defined rules and winning and losing conditions. And his purpose for doing every activity...
And the game has said, give this a shot.
And his purpose for doing every activity that he does during the experience of playing the video game is to achieve the winning condition, which was defined before he sat down.
I don't necessarily agree
with
that.
So he's there for two different reasons.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I think the fundamental condition is this... a valuable use of my time and my limited existence before I die and decompose. And because to go back to Kyle's thing,
thanks for bringing it.
But that is the underlying, you know, it's the underlying goal, motivation, whatever you want
to
call it.
For everything. That applies to both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I happy I spent my time doing that thing as opposed to any other thing?
Yeah. And it's because I know I've experienced, and I'm sure plenty of other people have experienced, playing a video game and eventually decide it's not worth it anymore. I'm not going to win the video game. My condition is no longer I must win this video game. It's I'm not enjoying my time anymore. I'm going to stop.
But
that same can happen with a movie.
Sure. Yeah,
exactly.
But and I know you reject the premise, and I accept that you reject the premise, but
Hitler.
But that doesn't help us answer the question of whether a video game can be art or not.
Because it's a definitional argument.
I just
that's
got
not worth
done
having.
Saying I accept that you reject the premise, but not everybody does.
I think the issue, though, is that, you know, not having read whatever Ebert's argument was, which I can't even imagine
here,
what it would have been.
I'll summarize it for you real fast.
Okay.
I'm old and video games are new.
That's exactly the point, and I'm sure other people brought it up. But I was saying, Roger, 100 years ago, people would have been saying that about movies, that this is not an art. This is just some silly thing that people are into that has no aesthetic value to it whatsoever. It's you're recording a train coming into a station and you're paying people, you know, people pay you to watch it. I mean, what the hell is that? That's not an art. You know, these things evolve. These things change over time, you know, just like, you know, acting has changed. Now we have, you know, what we think of as good acting, what we think of as good painting, what we think of as anything that we now would probably easily define as an art has been through 85 different ramifications of being rejected in whatever form, you know. Rock and roll, that's not music. So it's like video games were invented yesterday. They just came up with video games yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, they're brand new. From our little tiny human perspective, they're you know, movies are over a century old now. That's a pretty good period of time. Video games are nowhere near that old. They're still an evolving thing.
They're still maturing.
And they're becoming and there's, you know, there's room for us to include a new definition of art by having it be some kind of interactive thing, because the opportunity for interactive art is something that is more prevalent now than was prevalent 50 years ago. What kind of art could you interact with 50 years ago? You could go to an improv theater, right? About the only one I can think of is you could somehow improvise with actors on stage or give them a suggestion. Well, that's kind of like, it's like a video game with people acting, where there's rules and a goal. I'm just saying that, you know, we have no idea where society is headed with gaming. You know, it's a huge thing that's only just appeared. It's a massive tidal shift in the way people do all kinds of things, to the point that it has knocked the market for all the things that we considered our art forms almost to non-existence in many cases.
When was the last time you saw an opera?
Movies have suffered vastly. Television has suffered vastly. Things that were the dominant art form 20, 30 years ago in society are now barely dominant at all. They still exist, but they've taken a huge hit from video games and from other things, you know, from the internet as well. I mean, is a website art? I mean, like, well, going into the whole thing. But I'm just saying that I think we're only at the beginning of the wave, and we have no idea how far inland it's going to take us in terms of what the definition 20 years from now, 30 years from now, would even be as art.
My take on it is that there has to be, like, going back to what we said before, and what I think I seem to recall saying, like, the first page of that argument months and months ago of that thread, has to be some kind of intent of an artist to communicate some kind of specific points. And I'm actually not sure whether that, I know that for me that applies to my personal definition of story. I don't know if that carries over to my personal definition of art. I really don't care all that much, to be honest. But there, for me, the crucial element is, are you communicating some kind of a point, some kind of theme? To go back to the Nicholas Meyer quote, what was the reason you sat me down and told me this story, showed me this movie, made me play this video game in the first place? What was the point of it all after the fact?
Well, textbooks have points, too.
No.
And therefore, there's no debate about what their point is. they're clear. They're utilitarian is the answer to that.
Well, I think what Brian, don't let me speak for you here, but I think what you might be getting towards is that art serves a purpose, but that purpose is something like, and this is just an example, that mountain is pretty.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, it doesn't have to be a lesson. It doesn't have to be polemical in order for it to be art, right?
For me, the crucial part, the crucial idea, the seed idea is that there is some thematic idea that the artist is trying to communicate to you. In stories, it's generally, the whale, don't get obsessed with getting the whale. Don't get obsessed with that kind of thing. Or it could be, hey, take a minute and enjoy your life or whatever. Whatever that thematic idea is, it has to be contained for it to qualify as art.
Yeah, but there's lots of art that doesn't have any relationship to story. I mean, like Ansel Adams' photographs of
right, and
Aftom.
That's why I say
mountain is pretty. That was what Ansel Adams was saying.
And that's why I say I'm not sure that I do know that
he was actually known to shout.
He
that.
Was.
Yeah. I just pictured Ansel Adams actually saying that.
Yeah, you never wanted to go to an Ansel Adams exhibition where he was actually there because he would physically grab you and rub your nose on the picture. It was really kind of overbearing.
Look at it.
It's Aftom.
Like I said, that's why I'm not sure that. Well, I know that definition is in my definition of, or that element is in my definition of story. I'm not sure in art, but anyway, I feel that's a very crucial aspect of it as that relates to video games. Video games and movies as well don't start out with that. The train coming into the station, the people leaving work, I don't think qualifies as art because it's not, okay, I'm communicating some thematic idea. It's just like, hey,
holy shit, I have this
yeah. thing that it does this. Isn't that cool?
Like the probably the cave painting started with a guy going, hey, this is colorful. I made a mark on the wall. Fuck, what do I do now?
Yeah.
You know, it's not art yet, but you're headed somewhere.
But you're getting there. And so yeah. I think games, much like any other art form,
expression.
Started yeah. that way. I don't think Pong, under that definition, qualifies as art because it's more like, hey, I put these vacuum tubes together and there's electrodes and fucking this thing happened. But then eventually you get to
things. Go to bed.
You're never going to get laid. Yeah. But then eventually you get to things like BioShock and Mass Effect and Myst.
There is a bit of a development curve there.
And I think the really interesting thing about video games is that unlike movies or any other, and I'm going to even go against myself and say passive, quote-unquote, art form, you know, like a painting that you're just looking at or a movie you're just sitting there watching. Video games are more active, and I think the really interesting thing about video games as an art form is that there is the possibility of having multiple themes or different shades of a theme contained within one work. If you play Mass Effect through this way, you get to the end, and the point of the story becomes this. If you play it as, say, as the Paragon, but then if you play it as the Renegade, you get to the end of the story, and the point is like this. As we talked about with the Star Wars, the two Star Wars trilogies, the first one, the point is very clearly anybody can be redeemed from evil. And the interesting thing about franchises, and Star Wars in particular, is the cool thing you could have done with the prequels is you could have had the exact opposite thematic points. The thematic point of the first one is anybody can be redeemed. The thematic point of the second trilogy is anybody can fall to evil. And so take the two together and you have a really interesting contrast and juxtaposition of themes. The interesting thing for me of video games is you could do that sort of contrasting theme of juxtaposition of whatever.
In one piece.
Within one work, yeah.
Well, okay. Now,
well, that raises an interesting question, though, and it's predicated on a thing which I believe is valid but may not be. I think there's an argument to be made that art, how do I want to say this? Art is something that can be experienced as a group thing. It's something that's not just one guy sitting and watching one sunset with nobody else around. That's not art, because that's just him seeing it and nobody else will ever see that again. Mm-hmm. Video games can only be played once. One person plays a video game and has one unique experience, and nobody else can share in that experience. It's a purely solitary thing. Games that are multiple players, obviously notwithstanding, but, you know, I'm just making this simple for now.
I watched a dude play Portal.
Yeah, but you watched him play. You had a completely different experience from the experience he was having as he was playing it.
Valid point. Good point.
Okay, that's actually a very interesting point, I think, because I think the other aspect of... I think stories specifically, and I feel much more comfortable talking about stories because I feel like the definition is much more concrete than art, which is this nebulous thing. But I think the fundamental, like, sociological, and I've given this spiel to Jeffrey before, so he'll roll his eyes, but I feel like the fundamental sociological reason for stories existing, why they were invented, you know, the way I say is, like, around the brand new invention of last year, the campfire, this new invention called the story was invented, and I feel like the reason it was as a way of communicating and spreading values and lessons about how human beings should be human beings in a more efficient manner. Instead of going one person to one person saying, do this and don't do that, you gather the whole little tribe around and you tell a story and you communicate, okay, don't do this or do this and be a proper tribe member. And you, in one go, you communicate that same lesson, that same information to multiple people. And I feel like that carries over all the way up to movies, where millions of people theoretically can sit down and receive the same thematic idea from whoever is communicating it. And so you're disseminating this idea of what it means to be human or how you should be human or not be human to millions of people at once. But the interesting thing about video games is that the dynamic is different from that.
Now, here's a question. It might shed an interesting light on the initial question, are video games art? Or can video games be art? Can board games be art? Can chess be art?
I don't think so.
I think board games can be art, because I think they could contain a thematic idea that is communicated through the process of playing it.
Like a game called Atheist where you walk off and you don't have a replay?
Where could I get that?
I don't know.
Is that an app?
Or a game called Buddhist where you can just walk off and then you become a chicken or something like that? Or, I mean, is that the...
I don't think that's how Buddhism works.
That doesn't sound like a game.
That's Scientology, isn't it?
That doesn't sound like a game.
I don't know whether to be offended or just surprised at your ignorance about Buddhism, but...
It's an existing joke. That's not a game. That's an activity that... It's basically... It's almost a sucker activity. It's like a, well, let's try this. Oh, look at that. Thinking now, aren't you? But that wasn't a game. I think that underlines what Jeff's getting at, where it can be one or the other, but it's kind of you can have a really wonderful painting under where the pieces move, but
yeah, but that's not the game. Yeah, I guess my answer to the question is I can imagine that a board game could be art, but I can't imagine an example of how it could be art.
I'm on the same.
We can think
like,
of.
I just want to rule it out because it's an imperfect universe and anything's possible. But it's like I don't see how checkers the game becomes an art. You could say, look, these checkers are made of mother of pearl and they're inlaid with gold filigree that has different depictions of, you know, episodes of Firefly, and you know, you can buy it right now from the Franklin Mint or Sky Mall, and it's great, and we'll send you a piece every month, and that's great, but that's not the game. You're just you know, the devices of the game you have turned into works of art. And again, it's like the spoons. It's like, well, the point isn't really the game anymore. The point is you've made these ordinary objects into artistic things.
Does this underline your initial opinion, Jeff?
It does a little bit, because the way I'm looking at it, I'm thinking about like a chessboard, just because it's really easy to visualize. Yeah. I mean, it could be a Monopoly set or whatever, but it also, there are concrete examples of this. There are chessboards in museums, and not just like historical artifacts, but there are, you know, carved chess pieces that were made not so that we can play chess. That's not the point of me doing this, but the point of me doing this is because I'm going to make the most beautiful set of chess pieces anybody's ever made, and you're going to look at them and you're going to say, wow, those are really beautiful. Oh, yeah, I guess we can also play chess with them too, but that's not really the primary point.
Yeah.
So in that case, though, the art is a depiction of a thing in no different way than if I had sculpted a naked figure, or if I had sculpted a tree or whatever. I'm just depicting something with my art.
But to bring it back to the question, is like whether your rook is literally a piece of paper that says rook on it, or it's made of the finest, you know, gold filigree and inlaid with, you know, the tears of Holly Hunter. that
Holly Hunter.
it's an obscure Patton Oswalt reference. In no way affects the playing of the actual game of chess. It has no effect whatsoever on the game itself. Yeah. So I think that's entirely outside of it. So it's like, again, the trappings of it can be art, like a spoon can be art, but chess itself is simply an activity with rules, and I think it sort of doesn't qualify as art in and of itself. And again, I'm thinking, you know, anytime, like you said, a board game could be art if you're playing checkers on the Mona Lisa. It's like, but that isn't the game. That's just this extra weird layer that you've added to the game. So
we've complicated the entire issue by saying, can video games be art? Can games be art?
I think video games have so much more to them than just games. You know, it's like hitting a ball with a stick. Can that be an art? Well, it's a real art the way you threw that curveball, I guess. But then,
yeah, but I mean, that's just a figure of speech.
That's how we say it. Yeah. You know? It's like, again, it's just because art is such an all-encompassing term and intentionally vague. You know, it's
vague to the point of total uselessness.
And no, yet, it's a word we've had for thousands of years and continue to hang on to today. Yeah.
Art does not mean the same as shoe or porcupine. I mean, art does have a zone that it works in, but that's part of, you know, human communication, is that we can have these things that mean
with fuzzy boundaries,
vague contextual things.
Yeah, and you have to go back to what Potter Stewart said in that Supreme Court case. You know, I can't define art, but I know it when I see it.
Except he said porn.
He was talking about obscenity.
About obscenity.
But the point was very artistically made.
And it crosses over. It's like, when does art become obscenity? Well, depends who you ask, because there's a whole lot of different opinions about that.
Right, but what's interesting about the fact that there are a whole lot of opinions about not only obscenity but also art is that even while there's this vast diversity of opinions, consensus still manages somehow to arise out of that.
There's still the general Venn diagram is still, mm-hmm. you know, it's the fringes that get weird. But it's like, okay, Mona Lisa, yeah, well, right on, you know, it's mm-hmm. except for, you know, some hardcore person who goes, no, representation of the human figure is a sacrilege, and therefore, okay, you go wait over there with the others, but the rest of you, cool, Mona Lisa, good. Okay, Mona Lisa in the art stack, great. The meteor's coming. What do we put in the cave? I have a spoon. Thank you. No, we're good. We're good with spoons.
We're set for spoons.
We're set with spoons.
Come back when you've written Arizona on it.
I have a copy of Mass Effect. Okay, you wait over there then.
We'll see.
We're still on this one.
I think that's actually a really interesting way of looking at the problem. You know, perhaps
what do we save? What
intention?
Do we put in the salt mine when the meteor comes?
If I'm putting the salt mine together and somebody comes to me with a copy of Mass Effect, that's a video game, right? Mass Effect?
Yes.
If somebody comes to me with a copy of Mass Effect, I'll look at that and say, maybe if we need something to pass the time.
Yeah.
And that's not me being... And this brings me to another point I wanted to make, but I'm a little ambivalent about how I want to make it. It's not me being disrespectful to video games. There are a lot of people out there who feel very strongly about video games, who like video games, who want other people to like video games, and also want other people to respect video games. And those people are just fine. I don't have a beef with those people. But I think when you have a serious conversation about whether this activity can ever be art by its very intrinsic nature, I think that some people on the internet
take defense,
want to get defensive about it, and think that by saying, no, that doesn't meet the definition of art as we define it thus, that's saying disrespect the thing that you value.
It's more tribal for them than scholarly. It's like, no, but I like this thing, so we have to esteem it as highly as we can.
Right.
Well, no, I'm not saying there's anything wrong. I'm just saying it doesn't meet this criteria yet.
Yeah, I happen to not be wild about video games. There are some I've played. There are most video games I have no interest in, but I don't disrespect them as an activity. If you want to play video games, you know, great, as long as we follow the Mike TV rule from Willy Wonka, you know, just don't melt your brain with it.
It's like, hey, you like water slides? I love water slides. Not an art.
Hey!
I don't care.
Water slides do not suck. Yeah, that's not what I said.
You can in the same breath say, I don't think water slides are art.
I'm not stupid for playing video games.
In the same breath.
That's what I said at all.
Same breath. I don't think water slides are art. Let's go.
Yeah.
Outside right now.
Exactly. But now here's a question that's going to blow your mind.
I'm going to rub myself down in pig fat.
Is food art?
Is what we're doing right now art?
Of course it is.
We're through the looking glass, people.
Well, are you...
This goes in the salt mine, right?
Are you referring to conversation, broadcasting conversation, whatever aspect of this...
What activity are you specifically talking about? Whoops. I'm talking about the thing we're doing now in its totality.
Ooh.
Conversation into microphones with a little hair of performance ability and input coming in from the people listening.
Well, it does meet the criteria of there's no chance or intent of commercial gain. we have established... we ran a 3-year experiment and verified that there is no commercial gain to be had from what we are doing.
Can it be a little passive aggressive right now, Trey?
It definitely puts it. Well, I'm saying that puts us more into the art category. That's my strongest argument for why it's an art, because it sure ain't no business.
Well, I mean, so. think about what we're doing. We're not just sitting around having this conversation amongst ourselves, although we could. We have had conversations like these, but we've got microphones in front of our faces. We've got a laptop recording it. We have the intention, you know, we can always choose not to, of putting it out there for other people to listen to, so that they can what? We're not teaching people something. We're not trying to get people to give us money. We're not trying to get people to change their lives or change their opinions. We're not
Speak
trying
for
to
yourself.
As a general rule of thumb, we're not trying to accomplish
I'm trying to build
anything.
An army of extraordinary magnitude. What are you doing?
Well, you've already got that.
Oh, okay. That's true. It's gone really well so far.
You
that's
can quit selling. You've sold us.
I have. Formed a fighting
force. Well, I would
force.
Say, you know, this is not art, no. But can you make an argument that it is?
Absolutely.
Devil's advocate.
Absolutely. I'm making that argument right now. We're putting it out there solely for the purpose of people to listen to it and judge it based on whatever aesthetic metric applies to listening to a bunch of guys talking to microphones.
Except for Whedon-esque, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there is an aesthetic metric that we can... Yet, there are ways to say this conversation that we recorded and put out on the internet was good, and there are ways to say that it wasn't as good, and, you know, it'll be on my shoulders because I'm the new guy if it's not. But the point is... We're putting something out there primarily to the exclusion of other purposes to be judged for its aesthetic merits, and that's art.
I disagree with the use of aesthetic there.
I don't know what other word to use,
well,
but I'm not married to it.
Aesthetic doesn't just mean visual.
No, and I'm not saying that it does. Because I think it's more about, and I don't want to say scholarly.
It's thought-provoking.
Yeah, but intellectual. It's
in the way I'm using the word aesthetic, I wrap that into it. It's the opposite
of why I hate these conversations.
It's the opposite of utilitarian.
By aesthetic, I mean everything.
No.
It's the opposite of utilitarian in that it has no function whatsoever.
Exactly.
No purpose and no function.
Well, but doesn't it have a utilitarian function? I mean, it and like
to understand the world better.
Well, this is
art.
Yeah. Well, it's
no. I'm really lost.
Hoisted by your own petard.
Let's blow smoke up our own asses even more and say people listen to this to have a better understanding of filmmaking and storytelling and blah 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 blah. People presumably are listening to this to be better at storytelling or appreciating whatever.
Yeah, but a painter could look at the painting of the pretty mountain and learn how to paint a better mountain.
That doesn't mean it was painted in order to teach painters how to paint.
Now let me ask you this question,
Brian. The purpose. It very much. Yeah, maybe the analogy to make here is guns, as a matter of fact. It's the intent behind the design of the thing.
Oh, sure, right.
It's, you know, a car. Okay, you know, gun proponents like to say, oh, cars, you know, cars are no different from guns. They can kill people.
Yeah, but cars can get you somewhere, too.
The difference is a car is not designed to kill a person. A car is designed to get you from point A to point B. A gun is designed to take a human life. And that's the functional difference.
Let me ask
you
this,
Brian.
Let's not get all like.
What
know,
if
all
I'm thinking of handguns here, which you don't. Take
okay,
to,
fair
to,
enough. Well, you can. Yeah, you can kill. You can kill mice with all those things.
Sure,
Brian,
sure.
Totally.
We're
that's what they're
on
for.
An hour here. Say we finish this conversation, and it's a good hour of conversation.
A good hour.
You say that would not be art. What if we were just performing a written piece That was exactly the same in all manifest ways as this kind of
If we were doing that Hamlet monologue instead.
Yeah.
Better chance of being art?
Yeah, that would... Yeah?
I mean, setting aside from the fact that...
Yeah, we're doing a radio drama of Shakespeare.
Yeah, say we're doing... Say we're even just doing that monologue, the speak the speech, I pray you trippingly on the tongue monologue. Yes, that would qualify as art because I think that contains within it a thematic idea that the artist is in trying to communicate to an audience.
And yet, at the time, he was just a guy trying to make a buck. Yes. It's been buried in the sand for 600 years, and now we think it's priceless.
Which goes back to the point that these things are not mutually exclusive. Yeah. Commerce and arts, business and arts, are not mutually exclusive aspects.
That's why we have the term commercial art. Which,
Hey, that is a thing.
That's exactly right. I mean, it's like art comes into things like, well, and this is the Andy Warhol argument. It's like that's a picture of a soup can, which is a work of art. I mean, look at it. It's they chose colors and they had a design, well, and it has a point, and it evokes a response, which is I want some soup. So he was the one who he was the one who said that the Campbell's soup can is art. Look at it. And people went, but
of course, what ended up coming from that is that a Campbell's soup can is not art, but a painting,
but
of
a representation of a Campbell's soup can.
For the purpose of showing you that Campbell's soup cans are art is art.
If we can impart any bit of knowledge from this whole thing, it's this is what the postmodern artistic movement is about. And I even pulled it up on Wikipedia because I thought we were going to get to it earlier. But Marcel Duchamp's Fountain, in which he literally took a toilet, a urinal, and put it in a museum and went, that's art. And people went, what the fuck are you talking about? The point of that, the reason why that is art, is because he is communicating a thematic idea of what art is or is not. And Andy Warhol is doing the same thing, going, okay, this soup can is not art, but this picture of a soup can is art. So what does that mean about what art
Discuss.
Is?
Discuss.
Well, the even better invocation is Magritte's Sissiness Palm Peep.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
I was just going to say that.
I was actually just having...
I mean, that... Duh.
Yes.
Sorry, what? Is that the guy with the apple for a face?
No, it's a painting of a pipe like you would smoke out of. Oh, but okay. At the bottom it says, written in French, this is not a pipe.
Yes.
The point, of course, being that no, in fact, it isn't. It's a painting of a pipe.
That's trippy.
And that goes back to the map is not the territory quote from before. It's like, and that was his entire point. This is not a pipe. This is a picture of a pipe. And there is a difference between the description and the object. And there's a difference between when this urinal is in a bathroom and when this urinal is in a museum and when the soup can is in front of you in your kitchen and when it's on a wall.
So in a very real sense, a thing becomes art when a person says that it is.
When an artist...
Oh, God!
Well, that comes up the one that whoever said it, I forget who it was, but art is anything you get away with. Yeah, it's literally like, too. It's art. Everyone bought that? Sweet! Now it's art. Did it.
The difference is when you have... When you have that component of this human being saying, this is this idea that I am trying to communicate, whether that idea is about how human beings should relate to each other or whether it's more snake eating the tail of this is what art is, this is art or this is not art. That for me is still the essential component. There's an intention by a human being to communicate an idea.
And thus, Brian and I reach common ground.
We need to wrap this up because it's 3 and Trey has to roll out. And that has been an hour. Real quick, round the room. Are video games art?
Yeah.
I go, no.
My answer is maybe recently, maybe not yet, but eventually, absolutely.
Jeffrey?
I think that as a rule, they have not been. I think it's possible that one could be, and if somebody were to provide me with an example of same, I wouldn't argue the point.
Trey?
I'm kind of in that. That's more or less what I think too. Is like video game itself is such a broad definition. You can play checkers and that's a video game. Is that art? Probably not any more than playing it with inlaid walrus toenails in real life is.
I love the things you pull out.
There's probably nothing I could name that some crazy person hasn't made a chess set out of. It's made out of tiny children's finger bones, inlaid with invent your own chess set and then sell it to somebody and then it becomes art, but. Yeah, that video games are highly evolving, rapidly evolving, and all kinds of things are being tried, some with success and some with less success. So people try and, Mass Effect went a certain way, and a lot of people were dissatisfied. Like, oh, okay, well, let's try a different tack next time. And the whole concept of trying to create a work of art or something that has artistic merit and yet is interactive is a massive challenge to begin with. And there are going to be all kinds of experiments and failures, and that's been going on for quite some time and will continue to go on. I think the other thing that complicates it is it's only in the past century or so that different art forms can get smashed together and create a new thing. It's like the guy who painted the bison on the wall didn't go, and every time you look at it, you'll hear me sing a song. It's like, no, it was just that. And singing a song is Thub in the other cave does the singing song. But then someone said, what if I sang a song while you looked at my bison picture? Dude, that's messed up. That's weird. You know, and the whole video / computer revolution has allowed us to take every single art form, and movies is this. Movies is drama and music and, you know, and writing and color and sound and lights and, you know, it's
architecture.
It's every kind of art form. It's all smashed into one, and now it's its own weird hybrid art form, sort of, kind of, that's also a commercial venture or might not be. And I think video games are the same thing, that the idea of interactivity might be the next thing that kind of gradually gets mashed into what was a movie hybrid and becomes an accepted art form now that we get.
Interesting. Yeah, that's good. Because if you have a painting of a bison and someone over here singing a song and another guy is
someone had to think about if we could put that experience into one thing, then it's a whole new thing. You know?
Interesting.
Someone thought of that.
And that happens by degrees. It doesn't even happen at once with movies. The color came later. The sound came later. The 3D came later. Mm-hmm. You know, every aspect of it comes in degrees, comes in bits and pieces.
You know what's interesting about that is how all of these things seem to be converging on reproducing the subjective experience of just being alive in a person.
Which I think is the at the very least a critical aspect of storytelling, if not of all art.
And one of the thing that I always keep coming back to, and again, it's a revolution that's only just begun. I mean, there are people to whom it's been their whole lives, but it's occurred only through half of my life, is the computer revolution. I mean, when I was a kid, you know, computers, there were six of them, and they lived in a room somewhere, and there were these bizarre objects, and now there's 15 in the room that we're sitting in, and everyone, you know, no one would know we exist without computers. Computers are ubiquitous. The most interesting statement I've ever heard about a computer and why a computer is so revolutionary to society is a computer is the first tool that has reached the mass market that does all the different things that it does. It's like, there was never a tool. It's like, you can never walk into a store until 20 years ago and go, can I have that thing that I can write a novel and paint a picture and compose a symphony and talk to my friends in France on?
And watch a movie.
Exactly. It's like, that's the, you know, you mean a screwdriver? No, it's the thing that makes music and video and television. And I watch television and I can write stories and I can draw pictures and I can do my taxes on it.
That's a great sketch idea, actually.
We have staplers. Is that so this whole device that, you know, this all-in-one company device that encompasses where all these art forms are available on the one device, and how, you know, and the simultaneous moving of so much of our experience into a virtual thing, where it's like 30 years from now, if you wanted to say that Mass Effect is a classic and belongs in a museum, what do you go to the museum to look at? A cartridge? But then you wouldn't really have to go to the museum to see the classic Mass Effect,
because it's an experience.
Yeah.
Well, I think
can
it was
an experience.
It's
crazy.
Does that mean museums will become virtual as most of human experience becomes virtual over time?
I think it was
There are video games from my past I wish I could go visit again that I can't.
But if you went to a museum, I mean, what would you do at a museum? You'd want to play them.
Yeah,
you'd want to go to a kiosk and play Defender or whatever, or Asteroids or whatever it might be for you. You can't, you know, the whole concept of a museum and what we, you know, that's going to be changing and is changing.
Interesting. Right?
Well, and how can Marcus get lost if he didn't leave?
Yeah.
I think it was, I think William Gibson is the guy who first described, he was talking about something else, but it applied to the internet. He described it as a consensual hallucination.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was someone on a modern philosophy website, bash.org, who said IRC is just multiplayer notepad.
and there you go.
This has been Down in Front. You can always find more episodes at downinfront.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes, get a brand new episode. This wasn't Down in Front at all. Just
hell yeah, it was.
Hi, I'm Brian.
it just wasn't art. Or was it?
Go to the forum, involve yourself in the conversation, wonderful community, blah blah blah. Buy our shirts, give us money. Seriously?
Please.
T. Christie.
Brian Finifter.
Jeff Harrell.
Jason Toad.
Thank you very much for listening. Good night.
Our brains definitely melted on that one.
Andy Warhol.
That was
knew
fun.
What he was doing.
I like that episode. Un podcast.
That was a deep that was conversation fun. About something.
We should do that more often. So next week we're doing abortion.
Mitt Romney, around the room.
I was having a conversation with my friend last night, and he was like, "Yeah, I saw my friend had this thing. It was like a picture of a pipe, but underneath it in French it said, 'This is not a pipe.'" I was like, "Oh yeah, the painting." I was like, "Oh, it's a painting." You were going to get that as a tattoo, my friend. Oh, wow. You were going to tattoo that on your body without knowing.
And he thought it was like a lolcat or something.
Something like that.
No, that's actually okay.
No, I'm leaving here. I'm going back to my lab that I'm making that. Just a picture of a cat that says, "Sissi n'est pas un lolcat."
Well, my favorite is still, it's a picture of the Death Star underneath it says, "Sissi n'est pas un loon."
Oh, that's
brilliant. That's meta, dude. That's totally brilliant. Awesome.